Thank you, Dan. It is good to be here this evening. I welcome you and I appreciate you coming. And I'm thankful that we've gathered here in the name of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. We have been blessed recently with the seemingly nice weather, which I have been thankful for. I'm hoping to get out of this part of the world and get to a warmer climate before we get snow. And so I'd appreciate your prayers for Sue and I and Dwayne and Kathy Ely, who will be leaving Wednesday for East Africa. I thought I'd spend a moment reviewing some of the things of the foreign mission field in Africa. I'd like you to remember them in your prayers, and I'm sure you already do. Here in the Congo, the two congregations we've consolidated, or they've consolidated themselves. There were some in the one congregation that didn't want to use the Book of Mormon. And so we rented a little bit larger building for the other congregation that was in need, and they're meeting together, those that truly believe. And we have a good brother that's in charge of that congregation, who's been faithful. He's one of the original members of the Church of Christ in the Congo. I'd ask that you'd remember him in your prayers. His name is Pascal. I ask for your prayers for Nigeria. You know, I was this fall or late fall, I guess, early winter, I was in the Congo and Nigeria, and Nigeria, since I was there, they've had some problems in their country. There's been some civil unrest. The government, in their infinite wisdom, decided to take off the surtax on gas, and it went from $1 a gallon to $4 a gallon or something like that. And the people, I think, rightfully revolted. Because the government is, pray for their government is the means of what I'm asking for. I mean, they don't do their people any good. It's a dangerous country. The culture, because of the conditions that they live in, it's the largest population in Africa. There's much iniquity. It's the scam capital of the world. And their aggressive culture, and our people need our prayers. But we have five good congregations there, which I am truly thankful for. And they're growing, but we'd appreciate the prayers for them. In East Africa, and Tanzania, in Tanzania, we have a lot of new contacts. I know Brian mentioned some on his blog. The question is how we're going to get to them all, and there's probably four I haven't been at yet. There's two that are in the area where we've been for some time, and then there's two new ones, and possibly three that's in another part of the country, which we'll really get to. It's closer to Nairobi than it is to Kisii. It's around Mount Kilimanjaro, and there's two or three congregations. One of them is a man that his wife is from that area. She was sick, he had to take her back home to the hospital, and he moved his family there. And that's one of the ways the church has grown throughout Kenya and, for that matter, Tanzania. Our coordinator and first contact in Tanzania passed away this fall. Elvis, and we've asked another man to take that place. His name is Michael. He's younger. He's probably in his 45. Has young children. I'd ask you remember him in your prayers as he tries to coordinate the efforts there. But we've really been blessed since the time that we have been there and time between I've visited with Michael and the time that Brian was able to be there when the reunion was there. They had some very spiritual experiences, I'm going to say, that brought them all back together in their desire to be with the Church of Christ and to fellowship together and accept the new coordinator that we had, Brian and I and Dwayne had picked and prayed about and felt good about. And the work is going to continue to grow there, as it is in Kesey as we reach out to new areas outside of the Kesey area. Probably going to have two new contacts this time in a different part of the country. Up in Lowell, it's further west than Kesey. I've been corresponding with them on the internet, and Moses and Michael have made contact with them, and we hope to see them there. Some new contacts with the Kula tribe we have three congregations there. I think they all have members. And another outreach. And so we're thankful, and we need ministry, and we appreciate your prayers. To give you some idea, here in the States, there's 90 ministers in the States. There's 30 congregations. In Tanzania and East Africa, there's 50, and there's 7. And they're much needed. And those 7, unfortunately, are traveling for us, mainly around the Kesey area, except Michael and Moses and Simon, the three elders, do travel to the other places, into Tanzania. And Michael and Moses have been to the Congo several times. And we're thankful for each one of them. We see many young men and many of the leaders that we have great hopes for. And we ask that you might remember them in your prayers. I do want to say our brothers said a lot of the brothers here travel and aren't here. I sure appreciate some brothers here from this local that travel in my field in the southeast in various places. Marvin Case and his wife and Leslie and his wife and Jim and Roger and his wife. Oops, she's not there. There she is. And the people there sure appreciate all that. We know it's hard to be away from home and to travel, especially at this time of the year, and they've been blessed by it, and the others that have traveled. My purpose tonight is, is to spend some time not really talking about doctrines or the day of the time or the last days or the prophecies or, theological questions or dissertation, but simply teaching the plain things of the gospel of Jesus Christ, those things that we have a need to focus on and put to practice in our life, that something for each one of us, it's started on this, probably thinking about it for myself. And I hope to get as much out of it as everybody else does. And I hope that we're prepared to learn something or not really learn something. Take time to focus on what the scriptures teach us we should be doing. I'd like to start out with in the book of Ephesians. In the second chapter. Let me make sure I find it. Yeah, second chapter, starting with the 4th verse. But God, who is rich in mercy for his great love wherewith he loved us, even when we were dead in sins, hath quickened us together with Christ. By grace are ye saved. And hath raised us up together and made us sit together in heavenly places in Christ Jesus, that in the ages to come he might show the exceeding riches of his grace, of his kindness towards us through Christ Jesus. For by grace are ye saved through faith, and that not of your own selves, it is a gift of God. Not of works, lest any man should boast, for we are his workmanship, created in Christ Jesus unto good works, which God hath before ordained that we should walk therein. We see that in God's rich mercy for us and his love for us, has blessed us, directs us in our life, gives us an example, and it tells us to live correctly, or we should walk in good works. And that's some of what I want to talk about. I'd like to go on and read a scripture in 2 Nephi in 11th chapter. 2 Nephi 11, and I'm going to kind of skip around a little bit. Starting with the 44th. For you know that it is by grace that you are saved, after all we can do. Something we're to do. But when it gets right down to it, it's by the favor of God and his love for us, that and the things that he has provided and the plan of salvation and the sacrifice of his son. But we have things to do. We go on in the 53rd and the 54th verse. And the words which I have spoken shall stand as a testimony against you, for they are sufficient. They are sufficient to teach any man the right way. For the right way is to believe in Christ and deny him not. For by not denying him, ye also deny the prophets and the law. We're to believe in Christ and live in Christ and deny him not. We, as it says, reminds us in the 12th chapter of Hebrews that we have this witness. It says, wherefore, seeing you also have compassed about you with so great a cloud of witnesses, let us lay aside every weight and the sin which doth so easily beset us, and let us run with patience the race that is set before us, looking unto Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith, whom for the joy that was set before him endured the cross, despising the shame, and is set down at the right hand of the throne of God. We have all these witnesses. We each can testify of the goodness of our Heavenly Father. And we're to now to lay aside the things of the world, those things that so easily draw us away and so separate us from Christ, or that discourage us, or that causes us to fall, and let us run a race in patience and long suffering with an assurance that God will direct us in our life, looking to Jesus, that author and finisher of our faith. That we're so blessed, you know, to have his Spirit upon us, the gift that he has given to us through the laying on of hands, that we might have that to comfort us. You know, that Spirit of truth that has been given to us, that we would recognize those things when we hear them, when we read them, and we allow his Spirit to direct us in our life. You know, we've got a gift that other people, nobody else in the world has. The gift of the Holy Spirit through the laying on of hands. That doesn't mean the Holy Spirit doesn't work with people, because it surely does. But that gift that he gave for his, to dwell with us, to abide with us, to direct us in our life, we can lay it aside like any other gift. We can ignore it. We cannot use it. And it's not of any value for us. But his promise is that it will be with us all the time. And that we have to listen. That we have to call upon it. We have to be in tune to it, to allow it to direct us. So those are the types of things I want us to contemplate, to think about, to roll around in our mind. We've come out of the world. We're here tonight for a purpose. We've come into his house and allow his words to direct us and to remind us of our duty, to do the right things, to allow his spirit to be with us. In Third Nephi, in the 12th chapter, verse 34 and 35. It says, "Verily, verily, I say unto you, this is my gospel, and you know the things that you must do in my church, for the works which you see me do, that shall you also do." We're to follow the example of Jesus Christ. "For that which ye have seen me do, even that shall ye do. Therefore, if you do these things, blessed are ye, for ye shall be lifted up the last day." We're to be forgiving, loving, enduring, long-suffering. We're to continue to follow the example of Jesus Christ. In 1 Peter, in the 4th chapter, starting with the first verse. For as much then as Christ hath suffered for us in the flesh, arm yourselves likewise with the same mind. For he that has suffered in the flesh has ceased from sin. We're to be of like mind. For as much as Christ has suffered for us, that he gave his life for us. That's how we're to be towards him and towards others. That we're to be of that same mind. That he no longer shall live the rest of his time in the flesh to the lust of men, but to the will of God. For the time past our life hath sufficed us to have wrought the will of the Gentiles, where we walked in lasciviousness, lust, excess of wine, revelings, banqueting, and abominable idolatries. You know, before we walked in the world, wherein they think it strange that we run not with them to the same excess of riot, speaking evil of you. You know, we have to separate ourselves from the things of the world. Scriptures tells us the way to eternal life is a straight and narrow path. Narrow, very strict, a safe passage to eternal life. It's not the broad way that leads to destruction. If we find ourselves doing everything that everybody else in the world is doing, we're in the wrong place. And that's what he's telling us. You know, there are going to be those that will make fun of us. They'll think that we're strange, you know, and we're odd. And we're not to have any part of that. Who shall give account to him that is ready to judge the quick and the dead? For this cause has the gospel preached also to them that are dead, that they might be judged according to men in the flesh, but live according to the God in the Spirit. But the end of things is at hand. Be you therefore sober and watch unto prayer. Purpose in life. Be sober and to watch unto prayer. Be aware of what we are, what we're doing, and is it the will of God? And above all things, have fervent charity among yourselves, For charity shall cover the multitude of sins. We're to have charity among ourselves. The love of God, the pure love of Jesus Christ, and the love for him, the love that he has for us, we're to have among us and to among humans, among those of the world, and that we might show our the hope that we have in the resurrection, eternal life. Use hospitality one to another without grudging, and to every man that hath received the gift, even so minister the same one to another as good stewards of the manifold grace of God, as he has blessed us, given us the assurance, directed us in our life. And loved us, we're to be that same way to others. Be forgiving, be long-suffering, to love them, to be an example for them as Christ was an example to us. That's those things that we're to do, that God and Christ has given us the example. That we're told to follow his example. His best, you know, I don't know if it's the best example, but I guess it is his love for us. And so I'm going to kind of focus on charity this evening. The love that we have for one another and the love that Christ has for us. And let us turn to Mark. Christ is talking and he's being asked some questions and he's responding to it there in Galilee and 12th chapter of Mark, 28th verse. And there was one of the scribes there, a man that was knowledgeable in what has been written in the past and in the things of God. It says, and one of the scribes came, and having heard them reasoning together, and perceiving that Christ had answered them well, asked him, what is the first commandment of all? Asking Christ. And Jesus answered him, the first of all the commandments is, hear, O Israel, the Lord our God is one Lord. And thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thy heart, and with all thy soul, and with all thy mind, and with all thy strength. This is the first commandment. And the second is like, namely this. Thou shalt love thy neighbor as thyself. There is none other commandment greater than these. That's pretty powerful promise of Jesus Christ. It's a powerful commandment that we're to love the Lord thy God with all our heart, with all our soul, and with all our mind, and with all the strength, in all thy strength, commanding us to do that, to love him in such a way that we give our life for him as he gave his life for us, to participate in his blessings through expressing his love in us or for us to others. To love our neighbor as thyself. To protect him. To watch out for him. To provide for him. To pray for him. To lift him up. To be concerned about them. And, you know, we get in the hustle and bustle of things, let's face it, and we forget about a lot of that. I do. That's why we can come here and gather here and read the Word of God and be reminded that are we, and look within our own life, have I got those attributes or that virtue of charity? He said, you know, cover a multitude of sins. It'll cover the weaknesses that we have and our inability to understand some of the prophecies and the things that are written. It will lift us up and lead us in the right way. It will allow us to be into tune and to humble ourselves that His Spirit might direct us in our life. And we can be away from the chatter of the world, the influences of the outside media and whatever, and the iniquities that we have to live in from day to day. But even in the day that we live in, you know, we have a tendency to say, well, you know, well, there's so many more things today to distract us, and there is. But, you know, he realizes that. He realized that 2,000 years ago when he was saying these things. There isn't anything that, you know, he doesn't know. And he's telling us that the way to eternal life, to love one another, to position ourselves in love and compassion and honor one for the another, that His Spirit might be able to work with us and direct us in our life. In Moroni, in the 7th chapter, first verse, he says, "And now I, Moroni, write a few of the words of my father Mormon, which he spake concerning faith, hope, and charity. For after this manner did he speak unto the people, as he taught them in the synagogue, which they had built for the place of worship." So he, you know, Moroni had taught the people this, and his son Mormon had taught his people, and his son is referring to. 52nd verse. "Wherefore cleave unto charity, which is the greatest of all. For all things must fail, but charity is the pure love of Christ. And it endureth forever. And whoso is found possessed of it at the last day, it shall be well with them. Wherefore, my beloved brethren, pray unto the Father with all the energy of heart, that you may be filled with this love which he hath bestowed upon all who are true followers of his Son, Jesus Christ, that you may become the sons of God, that when he hath when he shall appear, we shall be like him, for we shall see him as he is, that we may have this hope, that we may be purified even as he is pure. Amen." Cleave unto charity. Pray for it with all the energy of heart. So we have to ask ourselves, here's a commandment from God. Are we doing it personally? Are we taking time to pray to have charity? I lack in that. I'm hoping to remind myself by standing here. I'm hoping to remind each one of us that's our duty to do that, to pray, to make it a part of our life purposely. So we have that teaching, you know, he says to cleave unto it. You know, it's to adhere to it, to stick to it, to cling, to be faithful, to never to leave it, to realize it's a treasure and put it to practice in our life, to love God with all our strength, mind, and soul, to love one another as ourselves. And he will bless us. That's his promise. I read in one of the commentaries I was looking at, and to be honest, I don't know which one it was, but it says about charity, its absence, or the lack of charity, invalidates all claims to the Christian name. If we don't have it, if we don't possess it, we'll lose our blessing. All human duties, it's all human duty summed up, our duty to God. It's kind of a generalization of it, but it's summed up in those thoughts that if we have it, it'll be blessed with us. In Matthew, in a 22nd chapter, 37th verse to the 40th. And Jesus said unto them, thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thy heart and with all thy soul and with all thy mind. This is the first and great commandment. It's the same teaching again in the Book of Mormon, that in the mouth of two or three witnesses, all these things would be confirmed. And on these two commandments hang all the law and the prophets. It's important for us to remember. It's in Galatians in the fifth chapter. It's the first one that's listed, the fruits of the Spirit, love, charity. But yet, on the other hand, we read in the Mosiah in the first chapter, in the 119th verse, for the natural man is an enemy to God and has been from the fall of Adam and will be forever and ever. But if he yields to the enticings of the Holy Spirit and putteth off the natural man and becometh a saint through the atonement of Christ the Lord and becomes as a child submissive, meek, humble, patient, full of love, willing to submit to all things which the Lord seeth fit to inflict upon him, even as a child doth submit to his father. We're to yield to the enticings of the Holy Spirit. We have to seek it. We have to prepare our hearts and our minds and our actions and our life to be able to receive it and to yield to it and put off the lust, those anger, those things that separate us from God, the sins that we have, and he will bless us. He has promised us if we yield to the Holy Spirit. I'm going to read about charity. I picked the one in Corinthians, first chapter of Corinthians. I'm going to start in the 12th verse, actually. 12th chapter in the 27th verse. And now ye are the body of Christ, and members in particular. And God has set some in the church, first apostles, secondary prophets, thirdly teachers, after that miracles, then gifts of healings, helps, governments, diversity of tongues. Are all apostles? Are all prophets? Are all teachers? Are all workers of miracles? Have all the gifts of healing? Do all speak with tongues? Do all interpret? But covet earnestly the best gifts. We don't all have those gifts. We're to look for the best gifts. And show unto them, and yet show I unto you a more excellent way than all the gifts. And he goes on, he says, though I speak with the tongues of men and angels and have not charity, I become a sounding brass and a tinkling cymbal. And though that I have the gift of prophecy and understand all mysteries and all knowledge, and though I have all faith so that I could move mountains and have not charity, I am nothing. And though I bestow all my goods to feed the poor and throw, I give my body to be burned and have not charity, it profits me nothing. Think about that. We have all those gifts, but we don't have a charity. We don't have anything. We can speak and are just making noise. Sound of brass and tinkling of cymbals. Distraction, noise, vain things. We're to seek to have charity. He says, charity suffereth long and is kind. Charity envieth not. Charity vaunteth not itself, is not puffed up, doth not behave itself unseemingly, unseemly, speaketh not her own, is not easily provoked, thinketh no evil, rejoiceth not in iniquity, but rejoiceth in her truth, beareth all things, believeth all things, hopeth all things, endureth all things. Charity never faileth, but whether there be prophecies, they shall fail. Whether there shall be tongues, they shall cease. Whether there be knowledge, it shall vanish away. For we know in part and we prophesy in part. We're to seek those things above. We're to put on charity for a blessing. You know, we have a tendency to think about all the other things. And we study the scriptures and we're supposed to. And we get into doctrinal discussions or theological studies, and they're good, but they're nothing if we don't have charity. All the riches in the world, all our good works of giving money or something, you know, if it's for the wrong purpose, or if it isn't to the glorify Jesus Christ, if it isn't his love for us and our love for one another, it's nothing. It's a tinkling cymbal. It's a vain effort. And so we need to focus and pray with all the energy and heart. It says, we're to be kind. Put on, you know, we're to have kindness. We're to have charity in our behavior one for another. We're to treat them as Christ treats us. It tells us not to have envy, not to have a resentful emotion when we perceive that we lack something that somebody else might have. We're to be thankful that they have it. Be thankful for what it is that the Lord has blessed us with and the knowledge that he's given us, and to use that blessing to glorify God. We're not to be puffed up, you know, and not to think ourselves more highly of somebody else, either our knowledge or our intelligence or our riches or whatever it is. We're not to have an overinflated opinion of ourselves. We're to act in dignity and concern for one another. Not to vault ourselves, you know, like a pole vaulter, not to raise ourselves up above somebody else or over others, but to be humble and meek and kind and suffering. Not to act unseemingly. You know, we're to act in a proper manner. We're to act with dignity and decency, to treat others with respect and love. We're not to be provoked or easily provoked, not to be easily angered. If we find ourselves looking and having a disagreement with someone and, we get angry and we make a point and we've won, we've lost. We aren't allowed to allow ourselves to be in that state. We're not to let ourselves be enraged, and over, you know, lose track of what we're doing and saying. That's not charity. It's the opposite. We're not to be exasperated. So, you know, we probably have all done that. We're not to be that way. We're not to let things draw us away from the purpose of life and the opportunity to serve God by being an example for him. We're to be concerned for those that might cause those things. We should be forgiving and asking and repentive if we have those things, and asking God to forgive us in our life. In that very thought, we're not to think of evil, not even let it place in our heart. It says it's to flee from it. If we have it, we must repent of it. We want to have the Lord help us to put those thoughts even out of our mind. You know, that we don't want to partake of sins or of lust or to hurt others, you know, or do things with an evil intent and viciousness. Not even think about it. If we find ourselves doing that, we have to repent of that. That's what it's talking about. Those human natural tendencies that we all have, that we fall back on sometimes, are not of God. We've got to yield to the enticings of the Holy Spirit and allow him to direct us. And the promise is he will. You know, it tells us not to rejoice in iniquity, not to rejoice in sinful things, but not to rejoice when somebody that we might have a difference with falls and we know of their sin and make an issue of it to hurt them and to maybe influence others what others might think of them. We're to have compassion and to pray for them, that they might be able to overcome that. So we're not to rejoice in iniquity, but we're to rejoice in the truth. I'd like to turn to 1 John. All I have to do is find it. There it is. No, I didn't mean that. Scratch that. I think I want John 1. It says, the same came for a witness to, talking about John the Baptist, to bear witness of the light, that all through him might believe. He was not the light, but was sent to bear witness of that light. That was the true light, which lighteth every man that cometh into the world. He was in the world, and the world was made by him, and the world knew him not. He came unto his own, and his own received him not. But as many as received him, to them gave he power to become the sons of God, even to them that believe on his name. The light of Christ. We're to seek the truth. In the 14th verse, and it says, and the Word was made flesh. Talking about in the beginning was the Word. The Word was with God, and the Word was God. And the Word was made flesh and dwelt among us, and beheld his glory and the glory of the only begotten of the Father, full of grace and truth. The truth lies in Jesus Christ. And we're to seek that. We're to make that a part of our life. We're to rejoice in his teachings and his love for us. In the third chapter, 20th and 21st verse. For everyone that doeth evil hateth the light, neither cometh to the light, lest his deeds should be reproved. But he that doeth truth cometh to the light, that his deeds may be made manifest. They are wrought in God. You know, it says charity never fails. Other things will fail, but charity never fails. We're to believe in the Lord and put our place, our trust, and our belief and our conviction in him, to bear and endure and to overcome and to to flee from sin. We're to seek the light and the truth of Jesus Christ. Light always overcomes darkness. The promises of God will always overcome the darkness. So we're to seek and pray for charity. Second Nephi, in the first chapter, in the 115th verse, it says, Adam came that men might be, and men are, that they might have joy. I think I quoted that right. One of my favorite scriptures. You know, the purposes of God, the plan of salvation, the hope that we have of eternal life with Jesus Christ, even from the beginning. You know, he understood that Adam would fall. You know, and that was part of his purpose. That and from the beginning of time was the plan of salvation put in place. That there would be an infinite and eternal sacrifice, even his son, Jesus Christ, for our sins, that we'd be redeemed and we would have joy. We would have that present assurance of a future event or a present delight knowing of that insurance and the joy that we have in the body of Christ. The hope that we have by following his example and drawing ourselves to the light to love one another. You know, he says we're put on charity. Well, that's probably a bad example. But, you know, that's a little bit about, I'm thinking about, well, what do you put on? And, you know, here I have a coat. It has some value, I think. I had to search for it. I had to pay for it. I had to save up for it. I had to make some decisions. I wear it. It helps me present myself. I can misuse it, I can drop it, I can step on it, I can knock, I can set it aside, I can forget it at home, but it'll protect me. It'll kind of put me together and you know, I can put it on wrong and misuse it, you know, and look silly or something. But you know, there's something about it that when you put on a suit, you're different. Or a sport coat. Or a jacket. You know, I put it on when I come to church I present myself comingly, if that's the right word. You know, it's not required, but it has value. It's something that people recognize. It's something that I would give value to. But I had to search for it. I had to prepare to buy it. I had to make decisions. It didn't come naturally. You know, I didn't come wearing a jacket. You know, I wasn't born with it. It doesn't grow on trees and fall off and they come down upon you. It's something that you have to do on purpose. And the same it is with putting on charity. It's got value. It needs to be used correctly. We need to understand what it is, what size, you know, what shape, what it is, how what we are required to do to obtain it, where we go to get it, to God and ask him in prayer with all the energy of heart. And it will protect us. It will lift us up. It will direct us in our life, and it will overcome a multitude of sins. And it says it will be found well with us in the last day. So I want us to think about those things. I want us to use the example of Jesus Christ to read the 13th chapter of Corinthians. Ask ourselves, where do I stand on that? What is it that makes me angry? Or why do I think I'm better than somebody else? Or, gee, I kind of like to do these things, and I'm exactly right. How do I rid myself of those? How do I yield to the enticings of the Holy Spirit? to recognize that as I walk in my natural self and carnal state, I'm an enemy to God. But he has promised us that we can have charity, commands us to, and he isn't going to command us anything that we can't do. He set the example for us. Let's use the time and the energies that we have to seek God's will in our life, to pray about it. You know, that beautiful prayer, and I'm not going to read it, of Nephi there in the second chapter of, in 2 Nephi, you know, in the third chapter, you know, bearing his soul to the Lord. You know, and he was a righteous man, and yet he knew he had all these weaknesses. He said, oh, wretched man that I am. We're to come before the Lord's throne that way and allow him to direct us. I'd like to turn to the third chapter of Colossians for a closing. If ye then be risen with Christ, seek those things which are above. Takes an action. We have to seek. Where Christ sitteth on the right hand of God. Seek those things. Search the scriptures. Allow it to direct us in our life. Set our affection on the things above, not on the things of the earth, not of the carnal things and the physical things of this life, but those things of Jesus Christ. For ye are dead and your life is hid with Christ in God. When Christ, who is our life, shall appear, then shall ye also appear with him in glory. Those are the things that count. Mortify, get rid of, remove from your life your members which are upon the earth, fornication, uncleanliness, inordinate affection, evil concupiscence. I can't say that. It's a strong desire. That's something we can't control. Put that behind us. Covetousness, which is idolatry. For which thing shall the wrath of God come on the children of the disobedience? In the which ye also walked sometime when ye lived in them. But now as you are part of, put off all these, anger, wrath, malice, blasphemy, filthy communication out of your mouth. Lie not one to another, seeing you have put off the old man with his deeds, and put on the new man, which is renewed in knowledge after the image of him that he created him. You know, we're again put on. Seek charity. Use it. Let it adorn ourself and our daily life and our activity. Make it known to others of our love for them and our disposition to do right, to be tender, to be kind, to be loving and forgiving and helpful, to bear with all things, to not easily provoked, to seek to bear or rejoice in truth, not to rejoice in others' downfalls, but to lift them up. And make those things as part of our life as just as breathing. It says, and above in verse 14, and above all these things, put on charity, which is a bond of perfectness. Those things that bring all that together, that makes us strong and perfect like Jesus Christ. And let the peace of God rule in your hearts, to the which also ye are called in one body, and be thankful. Let the word of God dwell in you richly in all wisdom. Contemplate what the Lord has said. Nourish yourself upon it. Feast upon it. Allow it to direct you. Get understanding in the details of your everyday life. We're to praise God and to give glory to him. were to reflect on these things. I hope I've, I know I haven't brought anything new. I didn't mean to. I hope we all know these. I want us to think about them. Measure ourselves against these things that are written and to consider them and seek to cleave and to put on charity and to remember to pray for it with all the energy of heart. Thank you.